Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thank you for hanging around with me. It's always a pleasure. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget the blog, which is right there on the homepage. And we'll send it to you, by the way, Monday through Friday. And it comes like clockwork, just like the newsletter comes on Sunday afternoon to get you ready for the week ahead by email. The blog comes by real simple syndication every day, every weekday, and it's updated every weekday. And so check it out when you get a chance, or just check it out when you're there at my site. While you're looking at the articles that we have there, hundreds, actually thousands of articles, and we got now probably about 6,000 archives of past shows that we've done. We put up, we've been doing this now since 99, and we put up over 1,000 a year, new archives of shows that we've done, like the ones we're going to do right now with our good friend Larry Robertson, and like the ones that we've done with him in the past. Larry is the founder of Lighthouse Consulting, and he also is the author of an upcoming book on entrepreneurs and how entrepreneurs can improve their odds of success. Larry, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's always a pleasure being with you.
It's good to have you here, and I'm really excited about your new book. What do you think? When do you think you're looking at getting it out?
I'm targeting late this fall.
Okay, late fall, and you're going to launch it on this show, right?
I'd love to do that.
You've already got your reservation.
I'm excited to have your audience hear about it when we get to that point. I think they'll enjoy it and need it.
Well, exactly. And of course, we're birthing it just a little bit as we go through our interviews here, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
We birthed a lot of babies here. We've gestated a lot of books on this show, folks, and that's what we call our books, our babies. And I'm glad that Larry's is another one. Larry, today we're going to talk about venture capital. And there are a lot of small business owners who think that they should go ask for investment from venture capitalists,
mm-hmm.
because they've heard about it. They know that they can get a lot of money from them, and there's so many myths and misconceptions about working with venture capitalists that I think you could help us clear up some of those today. Would you do that, please?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
I'm going to say, and I'm going to throw this out on the table, and you can work with it from here.
Right.
I have said in the past. In fact, I've said recently that most small business owners are not prospects to work with a venture capitalist.
Well, you're absolutely correct in that. However, if you think about it, most small business owners don't know much more about venture capital than what you just outlined at the mm-hmm. beginning here, that it's a source of a lot of money. Some of them think about it as a validation. If I get venture capital, boy, I must really be doing things right. Some of them also see it as a way to expand their network to get connections to customers and future sources of capital and media and so on. All of those things can be true, but venture capitalists are investors, and they don't invest in everything, just mm-hmm. like any investor.
They're fish-eyed investors.
Yeah, they're looking.
They have no emotions and no passion when they're in that role.
They can't. If you think about it, they're managing other people's money, and they're not just managing other people's money like your typical investment manager or broker or banker does. The expectations of the people who give them money is that these venture capitalists will produce extraordinary returns, high double digits.
The greed level is very high.
Yes.
And I don't use greed in a pejorative way, folks. I don't mean it that way. But if you borrow money from your bank, they're going to loan it to you at, you know, right now with prime at 5.5, I guess it is. They're going to loan it to you at 9.5, 10% or more if you're a small business owner, because we live in the world of prime plus. So their greed level is only 8, 9, 10%. For venture capitalists, the greed level is much higher, isn't it?
Oh, 40.
Yeah.
40%. But
if it goes public,
it's a risk-return ratio, Jim. And, mm-hmm. and what that tells you is that venture capitalists are looking for businesses that are going to be experiencing growth equivalent to that kind of return. So in the exchange mm-hmm. with the right kind of company, it's actually not unfair.
Well, and also, if the company goes public, what they're hoping is you go public and it'll be multiples.
Public or you exit through some other method, an acquisition, right. Something where there will be a very, very high multiple. That's not typical of most small business.
That's exactly right. And there are other reasons. Now, what I want you to do, as Larry and I go through these things, is I don't want you to be daunted. I want you to be undaunted and try and keep trying if you think you're the right person. But listen to what we're saying and make the adjustments accordingly. Tony Taylor will be right back. Welcome back. It's 17-2. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Larry Robertson. Larry, give us your website, please.
My website is lighthouse-consulting.com.
Lighthouse-consulting.com. So check that out when you get a chance. What do we find when we get there, Larry?
Well, my website is set up a little bit differently. It's for somebody who really wants to understand what I do. There are case studies. I talk about my philosophy. I talk about ways I'm involved with clients and the community. So it's really learning about the details of what I do. And what I do is I help small businesses manage the issues that come with growth.
Well, and he does that well, folks. And I can't wait for the new book to come out. Do we have a title yet, Larry?
No, we don't have a title yet. We'll call it the mystery title.
The mystery book. That's what it's going to be called. We're talking about venture capital, folks. And Larry, let me set this segment up this way, and you take off on any one of these tangents you want to.
Okay.
Because I know you've got some. Larry's been down this road. He knows what he's talking about. In terms of capitalizing your small business, Larry, I tell people that this is the direction, the 1 through 5 that they ought to think about. And I mean pretty much in this order. First is their own money. You got to start with some kind of money of your own. Even if it's only $100, that's your money. Second are profits that you make from the business. This is how you capitalize and grow your business. Second is hopefully profits from the business. Third is loans from a bank. Fourth is angel investors, which could include Aunt Sally. And fifth, meaning last, venture capital. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right, and going through your list, let me say the first one is most important because anybody, meaning your own money, because anybody who follows you wants to be able to have a measure of the seriousness of your commitment.
How much skin you got in the game?
Sorry?
How much skin you got in the game?
That's exactly right, and everything follows in line beyond that. And then the second quick comment on your list is that
can I tell you something? Well, and I tell you what, go ahead and mention the next one. I was going to say
when you get to those angel investors, they can include Aunt Sally, they can include very small, sophisticated investors. It could be partner businesses. It's very wide open. And just to respond to your question on the list in general. I think the order's right. I also tell my clients that they really ought to think about venture capital as the capital source of last resorts. They ought to have a reverse mm-hmm. goal from trying to get venture capital, and that is, how can I avoid raising it until it's absolutely necessary?
Before you get into venture capital, I wanted to tell you what a banker said to me one time when he was talking about me having some skin in the game. He said, If this deal fails and I lose the money I'm loaning you, he said, I want to see a tear in your eye too.
And why shouldn't they?
That's right.
You know, I mean, anytime you put money into something, whether it's an item you're buying at the store, it's a house you're purchasing, it's money you're putting in a business, you want to know that everybody who's involved is as committed as you are, and that any new investor that comes along feels that way.
Now, talk to us about venture capital as a last resort.
Sure. The reason I say that, there are really three reasons. The first is the implications of taking it. The second is that there are better and more appropriate options that should come first, which you just covered. And the third is that most venture capitals don't want most small businesses.
That's
and the
right.
reverse is true. Most yep. small businesses, once you learn about venture capital, you don't want it. And so that goes back to the implications. The implications are when you take venture capital, you are not just taking money, you're taking a partner into your business. And that partner has a very strong voice in where that business is going to go. They're going to be the first outsiders probably to take a microscopic view of what you're doing. You're doing two jobs at once when you have venture capital. You are now answering to and appeasing investors as much as you're trying to run your own business. And that venture capitalist doesn't want to be a partner in your business forever. They're looking for an exit, and you
they,
may not.
They come in looking for exit. They come to the altar planning the divorce.
Correct, and they have to because it's not their money. They're managing somebody mm-hmm. else's money. And the money has been given to them not to say, hey, go park it in some business and keep it there forever, but get me a return. Get me a return in dollars.
One of the most uncomfortable moments in any nuptial situation is the guy is going to be who's marrying this young lady. One or the other of them has to talk about a prenuptial agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are in love. We're so excited. We're in love and in lust and everything else. And somebody wants to talk business.
Yeah.
But it has to be done sometimes.
When you
deal with a venture capitalist, it will be done.
Mm-hmm.
The prenup will be done.
And I think the interesting thing, Jim, is that when that discussion happens, it's not the discussion should go. And the venture capitalist is thinking way beyond the money and what kind of valuation they're going to give you. They want to, when they talk about the terms of the investment agreement, they want to talk about how many seats they're going to have on your board.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't have one, they're going to make one. They want to talk about how often you're going to give them detailed information on your business and what the nature of it is. They want to talk about what degree of control they have in your business.
Meaning ownership.
Absolutely. It's theirs, too. As soon as you take that money, it's theirs, too.
And they're going to...
As soon as you take somebody else's money, Jim, as you know, it's about compromise.
And they're going to start out wanting over 50%.
Could
you might
be.
Not have to give it to them, but they're going to start out wanting that much. Stand by. Quick break. Right back with Larry Robertson. We're talking about, is venture capital right for you? Right back after these messages. 10 till. Stay with us.
You had enough. Still gotta try.
That's right.
Do it no matter what the people say.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Larry Robertson, founder and the principal of Lighthouse Consulting. And that's lighthouse-consulting.com. Is that right, Larry?
That's right.
Lighthouse-consulting.com. Larry, and folks, we're talking about venture capital. Is it right for you? If someone should decide... Mm-hmm. They say, okay, fine, but I've already gone through the first four of your list there, Blasting Game, and I'm completely compatible with venture capitalists. I want to be out of here in 5 years. I want to make $1 billion in 5 years. My company is growing. I've got financial statements. I'm prepared. I got my organization ready to go. I got the right people. I got the right product. We're growing, and we're an emerging company, and I show me the money.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do?
I think I'm really glad you led our conversation to that as a conclusion. You know, all of this can sound like a big warning of don't go there. And frankly, for most businesses, that's true. You shouldn't go there. But some will. And they should. There's an appropriate time for appropriate businesses to bring venture capitalists in as a partner. I always tell my clients to look at venture capital two ways. First, in the traditional way, learn as much as you can about not only venture capital in general, but which firms are specifically right for you. This is a partnership, and there should be a matching of needs and knowledge and interests, just like you would with any partner, just like you do with customers.
Well, so, if you're in the healthcare industry, don't send your package to a venture capitalist that is only interested in the hospitality industry.
That's a perfect example of that. And venture capitalists tend to have a very specific set of points around which they focus: stage of company, industry, the speed with which the company is growing. They need to, because they need to be as knowledgeable as possible about the areas that they're investing in. So, you know, your example is great. A software company is probably not investing in, a software venture firm is probably not investing in companies in the hardware space.
Right.
It's very logical in that sense. So I would start with, if you know nothing about venture capital, go to a place like the National Venture Capital Association. They're at nvca.org. And they have general white papers and information that you can learn about venture capital. But ultimately, you want to get down to the venture capitalists that are industry-specific or specific by region and find out what specific firms are doing so that you can eliminate the ones who are never going to have any interest in you. And you can focus in on the ones who are a good match for you. The second thing I tell people is, once you've learned about that world in general, start thinking about, number one, how you can get entree into one of these firms, meaning get them to be interested in what you have to sell, and that's an opportunity to invest in your business, and then to be thinking about what it's going to be like to live with them in your business. So I break it into three steps here that I'll summarize, Jim. The three points that people tend to forget to look at are: before you go, that's the first point. Why should you go? What's venture capital all about? And specifically, how do I narrow down to the firms that are right for me? Number two is, once you get your foot in the door, once you pick the right firms and they're willing to hear what you have to say, how do you get beyond that first meeting to closing a deal? And that really comes down to making sure the partnership is right, just beyond the surface level, into will we live together? Do they contribute something more than money to me? Do they understand my business? That's where the small business should get selfish and think about, what does this firm offer more than money? And then the third step is, think about what it's going to be like to live with that VC after you get the money. The money is so dazzling, and the glamour of venture capital can feel so wonderful while you're in this schmoozing courting period. But eventually, you're going to have to work with these folks.
And Larry, what do you think about making sure you don't do this until you go talk to someone who's already done it?
I think that's an excellent suggestion. It's like anything, Jim. If you can learn from somebody else's mistakes, somebody else's keys to success, why wouldn't you do that?
Let me give you another website, folks. SBA.gov/INV for investing. INV at the end of SBA.gov. That's where you find a bunch of SBIC, Small Business Investment Corporations, and they will. The cool thing about that list, it'll show you how they think about investing dollars or loaning dollars, what their industries are in. It'll give you a pretty good profile of that. Larry, give us your website again, please.
Lighthouse-consulting.com.
Thank you for being here today, Larry. Good job, and as always, and we got a lot more to talk about. Hope you'll come back soon.
I will. It's my pleasure, and thanks.
Larry Robertson, ladies and gentlemen. That's with a T if you're Googling him. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be back on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.